Welcome to Pi Podcast for our first episode of 2025 in the Hidden Figures of Python series. The purpose of this podcast, as you might know, is to highlight voices from underrepresented group members of the Python community. Today we have a special guest, Mojde, who just joined our organizing group. And today's podcast is a little bit about short recap of 2024, introducing Mojde and letting you know what are our plans for 2025. And also, if you want to support the podcast, how can you do that? We are now five organizers, and we did want to have this one episode like we did last year. Our first episode was with all the hosts in one, kicking it off and everything. But it turned out to be impossible to get all the five of us in one time zone, in one room at the same time. We are so distributed all over the world. So today is just Georgie, me and Mojde. We can start with a short round of introduction. Maybe some of you still remember Georgie from the previous episodes. Georgie, do you want to say, what are you up to these days? Who are you these days? Are you the same person like last year, or have you changed a little bit?
Yep, I still have my nose, my eyes and my mouth. And still doing the same thing, one of the directors for PSF. And this year I pick up, last year I pick up a new role as the treasurer too. Actually, both me and Teresa, we are leading the diversity and inclusion work group this year. So that's something new on our side. So Teresa, you want to tell everyone a little bit about what you're doing this year?
Yeah, I guess for me, a lot of things have changed. I took a break from the Code of Conduct work group, and I also am experimenting with an unconventional, let's say, work path. So to say, I'm working this year as a freelancer compared to the usual 9-to-5, which is hard because I live in Germany, and Germany is not a country that encourages freelancing. So for the person that does not like to do paperwork, this is especially hard.
That is true. Paperwork is kind of tough.
Yeah. So I'm freelancing as a data career coach, in case people are wondering.
Right. I actually took a break this year too. I'm just really, really tired. And I feel like I really needed a break and sort things out and do some cool projects, which I'm not going to reveal right now until when it's out. Then we can talk about it. But you know what? We should talk more about Mojde today because she is our new member, and there's a lot about Mojde that we should actually know. So should we call you Moj or Mojde?
As you wish. My close friends call me Moj, but my full name is Mojde. So, and Mojde sometimes is difficult, so Moj is fine.
Okay. Moj, you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I am really happy to be part of Pi Podcast team this year. So I'm originally from Iran. I'm Iranian. I'm living in Paris, and I'm 37, getting close to 40. Then what about me? I have a bachelor in electrical and electronics, master in computer vision, and a PhD thesis in computer vision. And currently I'm working as a data scientist / project manager in Sangoma. And I love the community, so I try to be part of the community whenever I can.
You are also part of the Code of Conduct work group with the PSF, right?
Yes, I am part of the Code of Conduct. And thank you, Teresa. You introduced me to the work group. I think it's been 2 years now. And yeah, I'm still working with the work group.
I know what Sangoma does, but maybe you can actually talk a little bit because I have this impression that they only do glasses, windows and glass. So I was like, are you doing windows and glass data about windows and glass?
Yeah, so this year is the 360th anniversary of Sangoma, And Saint-Gobain is an umbrella that they produce glass, originally started with that, but any other construction materials. As a data scientist, any projects for any other business of Saint-Gobain that they require analysis of their data or machine learning model. So mm-hmm. It can be for the glass furnace, it can be for distribution, e-commerce, you name it.
Whoa, interesting.
So there is one thing that I'm curious about a little bit. So you said you're from Iran. I think all of us here are not from where we live in. So we're from another place. How did you get to Europe, or why did you come to Europe?
That's a nice question. So I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship. And this scholarship, I think it still exists. It's called Erasmus Mundus Scholarship for Master Program. And they provide a specific scholarship for any students outside of Europe. So I was lucky enough to get into one program. And the program is an amazing program because it allows you to travel through different countries and different universities. And so you get to make new friends. And then if you're lucky, you get to stay and continue for thesis. So
I remember the Erasmus program. When I was doing my PhD in Hanover, it was I knew about Erasmus as the Erasmus parties. So there were a lot of parties.
Yeah, obviously there are. But you have to study too.
So tell me a little bit about how you get to start to get involved with Python, the language, or even like the Python community.
Yeah, so I joined EuroSciPy conference back in 2016. So, and then, yeah, I started really using Python from then, and then getting to know the community. And this conference was a great opportunity to meet a lot of open source contributors that they were also teaching introduction to Python and scientific Python packages. So since then, I got to know the community, and then I helped a couple of years after helping organizing the same conference. And then we had a chance to have JupiterCon in Paris a couple of years ago.
Ooh.
So we helped organizing JupiterCon, and then from there, yes, I was part of the community and trying to help. And also, I think within EuroSciPy, I got to know about PyLadies. And later on, I became a member of PyLadies Paris. So that
wow.
was really nice as well. Yeah.
Which year was that?
So this was 2020.
2020. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually really curious. I think for a lot of people, it's not really clear what does Python have to do with glass. I'm really looking through my window right now. I don't see any Python code hidden messages.
Maybe in the future you will have like a screen as a glass, and then you
Is that what you're working on?
Unfortunately, no.
Not yet.
Not yet. No. It's. I think it's. It can happen. I think it's the life of a lot of people actually currently in tech and in the community. That yes, you have your career that is in industry, and then you also like the community, so you try to be active in board.
But your company where you're working, your institute, is using Python for research. Or
sure. We have, I think we have research centers, we have data science team, mm-hmm. we have, we also do a lot of internal development for instance, I mentioned one that, yeah, how to optimize the energy consumption, how to reduce the CO2 mm-hmm. footprint. So these mm-hmm. are things that, that we do.
Yeah, I think this is interesting because most of the time, when we are in our little bubbles in tech, we usually only interact with people that build software, and very few people sometimes you meet that are like coming from a hardware, also producing hardware industry, and that's a little bit more manufacturing. And so it's always interesting to see the use cases.
Sometimes I think we also have like guests who actually fiddle with more on like the IoT side. And it's also interesting because these are things that it's not commonly talk about. We usually talk mostly about the data, talking about the language, and not really about something else that Python can be used for. So that is why it's actually very interesting to know more about that. But I have another question to ask you, which is more about PyLadies Paris. I mean, not many people actually knew that I'm French, but I'm French, but I live in the Netherlands, and I've never actually been to any PyLadies Paris event.
Oh, we have to invite you. When is the next time that you're planning to travel to Paris?
Well, I actually do go to France quite often, going back like a few times a year. Yeah, so tell me a little bit more, like how often does PyLadies Paris events go on, and what do you do?
Yeah, so the chapter existed way before I joined, and I think during COVID, the organizers organized a couple of online events, and I joined just at 2020, just after COVID. And since then, we started with as two organizers, then we became three, and now we are five. So we are happy.
Wow.
yes, and so we try to have meetup every other month, and also sometimes workshop for contributing to open source. So we try to mix these two together, and obviously trying to have speakers, female speakers, or from underrepresented groups, and yeah, talks about Python. Oh, something new that we started doing since last year, we try to have lightning talks. So we try to encourage the audience that participate and come talk for 3 minutes. Is it still, you know, growing, but we do see a couple of attendees that are comfortable enough to present a lightning talk. So that's nice to see.
Well, that's actually a great idea. I think I remember recently I went to this PyCon Taiwan. They had this, I mean, most PyCon has lightning talks, but theirs a little unique. They came out with the idea of like doing a countdown. So when it's like almost time, you have like 10 seconds left, everyone from the audience will go 10, 9, 8. And it was so funny because it just makes everybody go like, oh, no, 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 no. And then just speed up and do really funny things. But I guess it's not going to work probably for PyLadies because we want them to have the courage to come up and to just at least try to speak or show or talk a little bit about what they're doing. That's why I think skipping the countdown would be better.
Yeah, yes, yeah. We are still searching to how to encourage our participants to be more active. And I think hopefully we will figure it out. But yeah, I'm going to get in touch, Georgie, to invite you for an episode of PyLadies Paris.
Okay, I will be happy to look forward to it. So what are you currently working on?
Oh, in
like projects or things,
my own project at work. I'm busy with work stuff, yes. So and then I'm reading this book that I'm soon gonna finish, and I wanna make one page or two page summary of it, you know, just words or sentence. So that's my current project. Yeah, I guess that's it. I'm not doing other stuff.
Which book are you reading?
I think the name is that Think Again. So I'm reading Think Again. Yeah, thanks, Teresa. You recommended it.
It's a book, Georgie, about that we should change our mind more often.
I was just talking with my partner recently about that. The only time we could expand and change is to get out of our comfort zone. And yeah, that is to change. And a lot of times we are so comfortable with the regular thing, like what we are used to. And making that change is kind of like fear of what we are not expecting.
I think we are also kind of like a very strong culture of being right.
Yes.
and that's like very uncomfortable to accept that you might be wrong, and just to accept that you don't know everything about everything and be vulnerable out there with that. So I think that's kind of setting up us for not wanting to take risks sometimes without ego.
I think personally that would be the kind of the new future. where people will learn to accept that they are not the best, because not even leaders needs to know everything. I mean, no one knows everything.
You don't. You have all the language models. You don't need to know everything anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I wanted to say that it still is important that even if you hear it from LLM or read it from LLM, you question it. So,
I mean, the debate is old, like old in a sense. I think when we were in school, it was Wikipedia. They were saying, don't do your homework copying from Wikipedia, because it wasn't because it's like the easy way out. It was most of the time because it's a human built encyclopedia and it's prone to subjectivity and it might not be objective sometimes. And I think that's the same. The LLMs are trained on public data that people are producing, and sometimes that's also wrong, or the inferences are wrong.
Exactly. So
it does not. Yeah. I mean, happily, you know, the problem that we still have to think about stuff doesn't go away, which means that if we do that, it's good for our brain health. Otherwise, if we would have everything done for our brain and our brain doesn't have to do anything anymore, we would grow old very fast.
Totally.
Yeah.
And senile at 60, at 40. You're already like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know if you've seen a lot of cartoons already showing this kind of jokes where they are saying like people in the future will not know how to think because they'll just get the LLMs to give them replies for everything.
Yeah, no, but I saw the news about like a high school kid that finished high school with magna cum laude and then sued the high school because she didn't know how to read and write.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
That's another level.
To that level, I'm surprised.
And like with like good grades, right? So yeah. I wanted to ask Moj, coming back to is what do you do besides Python events and work? Do you have any fun hobbies or not so fun hobbies? Is there anything that you do that you'd like to share with the audience?
I don't know if you can call it fun, but for me it's fun. I like to go to dance and Zumba classes, and really it's the time that I can, let it go, you know. It's energetic, it's not like yoga. I know that I should do yoga more because that's another way of letting it go. But Zumba dances, dance classes is really... my favorite session, and I try to go there once 1 hour or 2 hours a week.
I personally feel that yoga is a little too slow for me, so I do Pilates. Anyone of you listening here, if you don't know, actually Teresa is teaching yoga.
Yes, so. that was the thing that I did last year. I did a teacher training, but that's why I was going to say that the yoga that I teach is kind of more like a workout most of the time. Okay. So because it's functional yoga and it has a lot of like about strength and mobility. So it doesn't really feel like stretchy.
Yeah. I did a lot of Pilates before, and now that I'm trying some yoga session, it's really hard because the way that you breathe is not the same. And I keep confusing between the two when I'm in yoga session. And that's a challenge right now.
I'm also starting to work a little bit on like mobility. And a new sport that I picked up was called the rope flow. So it's like using the rope to just fiddling around with it. And it kind of like help with the spine and the arms. So yeah, it's like I got to work more with mobility. That moves me to learn about rope flow. I guess it's like we are learning many different things. Like you said, Moshe, you said like, you started with Pilates and then you did a bit of yoga, and then now you're doing like Zumba, and then Teresa, you're doing like yoga, but the yoga with something new. So things are always evolving.
And I used to do capoeira, so I mean.
I used to do Muay Thai until I got injured.
Oh.
Yeah.
We can all kick ass. Good.
At least we can all kick ass. Yeah. Yeah. So is there any projects like you've been wanting to do or you plan to do in future, like in the next few years?
I do really like to continue organizing the workshop session for PyLadies because the audience, I mean, we get very, maybe 10 to 15 attendees, but I think it helps a lot, especially the career changes. So for instance, if they come to the workshop or we start learning how to contribute to open source and also meet the community, it helps a lot. So that's something that I want to do more this year and maybe the years after. And then personal project, a while back when I was maybe 5 or 10 years ago, 5 is not my more like 10 years ago, I was painting. So I want to go back to painting. So yeah, I want to start doing that and see. I already have some ideas what I want to do. It's more like, you know, drawing a map of Iran and also trying to be mindful of all the activities and political things that has happened in the past 10 years and trying to cover that in this one map. So it's a big project and I want to do that. Yeah.
That sounds really exciting.
Talking about history, is there any episode that you particularly like from last year from the Pi podcast?
I mean, the episode that stays a lot in my mind is the one with Vicky. So I really like that. Yeah. And I also like the one that I'm sorry if I mispronounce her name. Was it Isabel from Real Python?
Johanna.
Sorry, Johanna. It was Johanna. I'm Johanna. Sorry. Yes, it was Johanna from Real Python. Yeah. Because I think that was also really nice because it was for me. She I didn't know her before the podcast, and I was like, whoa.
Really?
I get to know a new person. That was really nice. And maybe it's my fault that I didn't know her, but that was really nice.
I also didn't know her before the podcast.
This is something that the reason why we're doing this.
Exactly.
It's because we know here and there among ourselves, we know people that is doing amazing work and they have been quiet for a long time.
Yeah.
And I guess most female usually feel like what they do is not that big. So they were just like, well, we don't think we are good enough to just talk about it. So this podcast is the best way to talk more about these people and let people know who they are.
Yes.
And also Joanna just won the Community Service Award recently.
Yes. Yeah.
And
also, I mean, I remember also another episode with Jessica. She was, I mean, she's inspiring. I mean, I watched that episode and I said, whoa. I mean, that's amazing. that was an amazing episode as well. Yeah.
I'm glad that it really inspired. It's kind of a feedback that what we need. I mean, soon you're part of us now. So soon you'll be asking around like, what feedback do you get? What do you want to hear more? Or things like that, I think.
If anybody wants to get a whole more comprehensive overview of what happened last year in Pi Podcasts, Marietta wrote a blog post about it, which is on our website. And you can have in one place links to all the episodes and you can catch up to all the 7 guests that we had last year. This year, we are also planning to do We are planning to do 8 episodes or so.
Yeah, we'll continue to work on all the episodes, and there'll be a lot more new faces that you've never heard before. And I think Chuck has also written another blog post about our plans for the 2025. Apart from that, we have also set up a new Open Collective account on the platform. So
that is for figuring out if you want to support the podcast and fund us, because I think this year last year we were funded by the PSF, which was amazing, and this year we probably won't. So that's why we are reaching to the community. If you want to contribute, we have an open collective, and you can see in the kickoff blog post how to do that. And also on our website, we will post the link as well.
Yeah. You can actually check out on piepodcasts.live. That's where our website and all the information will be.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite surprising. I think there's a lot of tooling going on. running a podcast that is so distributed, right? So
yeah,
we need a calendar system that makes it easier. Otherwise, we would have insane amount of messages. We need like a streaming platform. We need for subtitles something, for video editing, social media platform, and in the end, all of them, each of them is not like a lot of money, but somehow they all add up.
None of them comes free.
None of them comes free.
And the email account and the name in the DNS, the namespace.
Yeah,
and stuff.
So it's just, and also what you donate, it's not going to be our salary. So we are still going to be volunteers.
And sometimes we also had it like if our guest does not actually have access to a good technical setup, we did send microphone or headphones over.
So we do support them.
Yeah,
technically,
I want to say that everything is transparent, and I think you can also read about the expenses in the blog post. So it's
we try to be as transparent as it can be,
which is great.
Sometimes, I mean, sometimes we might forget something, but usually we will be as transparent as we can.
Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting if anybody's ever interested in running their own podcast to see a little bit what would be the costs behind it, to understand a little bit what kind of finances they need to put down and what kind of tools are out there.
I was interviewed by one of podcasts in Taiwan last year, and they were talking about the Pi Podcasts, and they thought that we are like a whole team of like 10 or 15 people.
No, it's just George. You're just working a lot. Mariette is also working.
So what you see is what you get. There's only the four or five of us now. There's nothing more.
So yeah, so if you want to have all of this information, it's on our blog site. And today we're really happy to have this this session to introduce Moshe and to tell you about last year a little bit, but very a little bit, and also a little bit more about the outlook for next year. And we already have the plan for the first recording this month, which will probably drop next month. As we said, we are not 100 people. But you have to, you know, subscribe and stay tuned.
And support us on the Open Collective platform.
And follow Moshe on all the platforms. And if you want to talk about Pilates Paris, or you're in Paris and you have not attended the Pilates meetup.
Yes. Please
knock on the door at Moshe's email or message.
Yes. Thank you for having me, and really excited to work with you this year.
Yeah. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Catch you next episode.
Yes.
Bye.